Mark 11, verse 27 through the end of the chapter. This is God's holy word. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Amen. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Blindness, physical blindness, the inability to see with your eyeballs, is a most unfortunate and crippling disability. A person who's blind is helpless. They cannot go on errands. By themselves, at least. They can't drive. They can't go to the airport and go through security. They don't know where things are because they can't see. They're not only helpless, they're very vulnerable. Attempting to cross the street, especially the street right in front of me, would be very dangerous. They're exposed to just simple things, like someone approaching them, hitting them. I mean, basic things that we take for granted because we can see and we can take shelter. Blindness is most unfortunate. It renders someone helpless. It renders them vulnerable. Spiritual blindness is worse. It's worse. It's very similar. Spiritual blindness is hard to detect, but it's basically what we have in this passage of Scripture. People can hear the truth. People that are in churches. People who hear the words of Christ. They can hear them. They can have evidence. They can have reasons to believe. And yet they don't. They can be told things about their life. How to live their life. How not to live their life. It's very plain to all. And yet they still don't see it. And they don't believe. I want to speak to you this morning on this passage of Scripture, one of the benefits and comforts of a preacher who preaches through the Bible is I don't pick my text. I just preach what's before me. And this is what's before us. And it's something to consider. It's not a reality that I think is in your life or in your life. But it's certainly a spiritual reality that we have to question. Maybe it is in our life. We don't want it to be in our lives. You don't want to be spiritually blind. And if you are, you want to become aware of that and seek a cure. Because unlike physical blindness, which is incurable, there's a cure for spiritual blindness. The context in this passage of Scripture is important. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem as the king. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That just happened a few days ago. He has just cleared the temple out. He's taken it. He's returned it as it was to a house of prayer. He's taken all the merchandise out of it. And in Luke chapter 20, verse 1, we learn that when the Pharisees, this council comes to him, he's preaching and he's teaching to them. And it's in this context that I want you to see, I've changed a little bit of the bulletin. It's the same material. I've just packaged it a little different after praying through it. What I want you to see this morning is simply this. Beware of spiritual blindness. This passage of Scripture is not primarily about Jesus and His wisdom, even though I'll speak to that and how He deals with the Pharisees. But it serves as a warning to the church. It serves as a warning. Beware of spiritual blindness. And I have 3 points this morning. The place of spiritual blindness. The marks of spiritual blindness, which is four marks. Then the end, or the result of spiritual blindness. So look with me at verse 27. The place of spiritual blindness. And they came again to Jerusalem. And as He was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to Him. Who are these people that don't realize who Jesus is? Now, when we think of spiritual blindness, you may be thinking about unbelievers, which is true. Theologically speaking, someone who's unconverted is blind. They need to be regenerated. They need to be given eyes. Sometimes, if you're like me, you think about the vile sinners, the really bad people who are immoral. They don't see their need for Christ, and they're just blind. Who are these people? They're not just members of the visible church. They're not just like you and me. They're not just people who went to synagogue, which would be a church. But they're the leaders of the church. They're the informed and the educated people. They're the ones who heard the reading of the Bible. They're the ones who heard the explanation of the Bible. They're the ones who heard Christ Himself. They heard Him preach. He's been doing this for 3 years. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. The chief priests were the Sadducees. They were part of the Levites. They were a group of people who either had been high priests in the past or who were up for that. Very close to the Word of God, physically. Very close to the temple. These scribes, these would be the Pharisees. Okay, the ones who studied the law, the ones who interpreted the law, those who taught the law. And then the elders. These would be prominent men in the cities, in Jerusalem and surrounding cities. The businessmen, if you will, the landowners, the ruling elders. That's the idea. And these three people make up what's called the Sanhedrin. And in my memory of just general New Testament history, the Sanhedrin was 70 men from these three classes. 70 men. They were the highest court. So we're Presbyterians. And one of the reasons why we're Presbyterians is because God's people were Presbyterians. They had courts. They had a local elders. Then you appealed to a higher court. And the Sanhedrin was the highest. It was the General Assembly or the Synod in Jerusalem. This is who these people are. It's very likely that it was an official committee. It seems like it was an official group that was tasked to go to speak to Jesus. And I want us to think about that because the people who or where spiritual blindness is, okay, the place or the people, is important for us to see. It's very possible that spiritual blindness is not just unbelievers, people who don't profess faith in Christ. It's not just those vile sinners. But it could be people in this room. Because that's what we have here. And not just people in this room, but me. A teacher of the law, a pastor, the elders. It's a warning. It's a reason to take a somber look at ourselves. J.C. Ryle writes, "Let us observe in these verses how much spiritual blindness may be in the hearts of those who hold high ecclesiastical office." This passage of Scripture is a warning. We ought not to think of ourselves as immune to this disease or this disability. Pastor or an elder, just because of office, ought not to think that he's immune to spiritual blindness. It tells us that we ought to be, as God's people, as those who listen to teaching, not blindly follow any ordained person. You know, there's a tendency to have favorite preachers, conference pastors, TV preachers, people who are very popular. And we ought not to be skeptical, you know, just look down upon someone who's ordained. But we don't follow their person, we follow their word. Just because someone's popular, just because someone's ordained, written some good books, doesn't mean that they're leading people in the right direction. This is a very striking point to think about. The leaders of the people, the leaders of the church, did not even recognize their Savior. 2 Peter 2:1 is a passage that points to the fact that this idea still happens in the New Testament. It can still happen. But there were also false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So I want you to see the place of spiritual blindness, and I want you to be awakened a little bit to this idea. Now, so it can happen among us, but what does it look like? What are we looking for? How do you know if you are spiritually blind? Well, there's four marks of spiritual blindness. I want to give those to you. See the first one in verse 28. The first mark of someone who's spiritually blind is they request more evidence. What they have is not enough. They request more evidence. Verse 28, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" Now, they're basically asking one question. What are your credentials? Who gives you the right to come into the temple and clear it out? Who gives you the right to start preaching this gospel? Now, what we need to realize is that they have plenty of evidence. They have plenty of evidence showing them who this man is and therefore what authority he has. Think about it from going 3 years back. Okay, we've been working through the book of Mark. Jesus had a 3-year earthly ministry. He preached the gospel, but he healed people. He performed signs and wonders. In Mark chapter 2, before some of these men, these Pharisees, these scribes, he heals a lame man. In Mark chapter 2, and he says to them, to this paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And he heals this paralytic. And all through the book of Mark, he's doing all these different things. And these scribes and these Pharisees, they see this. Just in the previous day or two, what did he do with Lazarus? Everyone knows who is remotely connected to the visible church and the story of the Bible. They know the story of Lazarus. God in Christ, Christ Jesus raised up a man from the grave. He'd been in the tomb for some time. That just happened in John 11, just a few days before. And they knew that. They knew all that. They had plenty of evidence. They were not satisfied with what they had. And one of the ways someone can be spiritually blind is that they're always seeking more evidence. It's not that they're not seeking evidence. They're just never satisfied. And you can do. I've met people like that. Some people were like that. You know, they're not completely sure that the Bible is really trustworthy. They're always looking for more certainty on these certain theological issues. And that's fine as far as it goes. But if it's keeping you from believing in the clear message of the Bible, don't use it as a guise. People do that. They need more certainty, more evidence, as if there's not enough evidence here. Second mark, they ignore the evidence that they know. They ignore the evidence that they know. That's a little bit different of an idea. Verse 29 and verse 30. Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." Now, I'm going to come back to Jesus and his wisdom in a moment. But those last two words are striking. Jesus is getting them to think. Answer me. He's appealing to their conscience. He knows about John the Baptist. They know about John the Baptist. And on the spot, he's telling them about John the Baptist. It's not an evasion. Jesus isn't evading their question. He's actually being very gracious. If they can get John the Baptist, then they'll get him. And they'll know by what authority he does these things. John pointed to Jesus in this gospel, Mark chapter 1. We read about John's ministry. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And they knew this. They're ignoring it. They're blowing it off, as the next couple of verses demonstrate, as well as other things. They're ignoring this evidence. R.C. Sproul writes, if anything was a given in Israel at this time, it was that John the Baptist was a prophet sent by God. And they're just ignoring that. And that's what a lot of people can do who are spiritually blind. I want you to think about the marks of those who are spiritually blind. God has spoken, especially to you, especially those who are in the visible church, especially those who hear preaching, especially those who have Christian parents or Christian friends. And there is argumentation for why you should believe in Christ and submit to Him. There is argumentation for why maybe you're not that spiritually blind, but you're going astray. Hey, you shouldn't do that. Are you ignoring the evidence? Are you ignoring people? Are you ignoring the preaching of the Word? Children, are you ignoring your parents? What they're saying? A good friend? Are you ignoring the place of worship? Afraid that God might be there? You might hear from God. Are you suppressing the voice of God in your life? Something to think about. One way of understanding this is Jesus is appealing to them to think about what they know. He's appealing to their conscience. Their conscience bears witness. They know, as the next couple of verses demonstrate, they know that John the Baptist is from heaven. That his ministry was sanctioned by God. And they're just ignoring it. They're suppressing it. I was in the army before I went to ministry, and one of the principles of an offense, an assault, is you have one part of the unit suppressing the enemy with fire, with machine gun fire. Then you have another part of the element that maneuvers so they might close with and destroy, maybe from the one flank or the other flank. And it's called suppressing fire. And you just, mortars, rockets, machine gun fire. Machine guns are really good at this. And it just keeps their head down. They can't do anything while the other unit maneuvers and gets to the place where they can start killing them. And what people do is when they get evidence, what they can do is they can just suppress it. They can just ignore it. They can just push it down. Why this fascination with headphones? Now, I'm not against headphones and music, but just bear with me. People don't want their conscience to speak to them. People walk around all the time with headphones listening to music. They always want to be doing something, talking with people, active. They never want to have a quiet moment. Do you ever just not want to be quiet? Do you avoid quiet times? Will you pray? One of the reasons why people don't pray is because they don't want to be alone with God. And this is part of the suppression. This is what they're doing. They're ignoring it. They're suppressing it. What's another mark of spiritual blindness? They lie to themselves. They lie to themselves. This is important to think about. Verse 31 through 33, especially the very end. There's several things going on in verses 31 through 33. But one of the things that's just we need to point out is that they lie to Jesus, but they lie to themselves. Verse 31 says, "And they reason among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, why then do you not believe him?'" And we need to recognize that they're giving credence to we know John the Baptist is from heaven. Verse 32, "But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." So they're they're not going to show their cards, if you will, if you allow me to use that expression. Verse 33, so they say, so they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. Now they do know. They do know. But they're lying to themselves. They're adding to the idea of suppression. Sometimes you cannot suppress or ignore the truth so that you can pretend to not know. You can pretend to not know. Now I'm saying you, as if you're all doing this. You may not all be doing this. But I want you to think about it. You'll lie to people, but you'll also lie to yourself. You'll do this. You'll know something's not right, but you'll still, like as they said to Jesus, you'll say to your friends, or maybe your elders, or maybe your parents, to hide something. And this lie is as far as the Pharisees are concerned, they don't think Jesus knows these things. Now we can read the scriptures and we know more. And you can do the same thing. Lies are often not open, just radical lies. They're lies that you think you can hide from other people. No one knows what I was thinking. No one knows where I was last night. So I can lie. But what are you doing? You're not just lying to them. You're lying to yourself. I want you to think about spiritual blindness. There's a fourth mark of spiritual blindness. Those who are spiritually blind have an alternative desire or motive in mind. They have an alternative desire or motive. In verse 31 through 32, you'll notice that they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. And that's hinting at something that we clearly see in other places. And this is the idea. They did not believe in Jesus, because Jesus touched their buttons. Jesus would have changed their situation as the leaders of the people and their theology and their teaching. They feared the people. They wanted to have that position over the people. If you look at John 11, we see this come out clearer as far as what they want. What are their desires? John 11, this is the raising of Lazarus. This is that whole scene. So verse 45 says, the many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees, okay, those are the scribes, and told them the things Jesus did. And the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council. So there's the chief priests. And said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. So you see that? They recognize what's going on with Jesus. But they have another desire. They have another motive here. We don't want to lose our place. We still want to maintain our position of prominence. John 12, verses 17, just the next chapter. Jesus enters into Jerusalem. Everyone's saying, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They're giving attention to Jesus. And then John 12, verse 17 says, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The world is an exaggeration. All the people are going after him. They're not following us. They're following a different rabbi. We're losing our power. They want this other thing. They want their position. The reverence that the people give them, they want to keep that. And because of that, they're not seeing a much greater, much greater blessing. And that's what you can do. That's what I can do. We can be blind to what's right and true because we want something that if we follow God's way, we won't get it. What is it, perhaps, for you, that you want The being a true Christian or a Christian at all will not allow you to do. Some people reject Jesus not because they don't have good reasons, not because they don't even know it's true, but because they want their pleasure. They want their sin. And the thing that's encouraging here that I want to mention is that following Christ is far better than anything that we can desire. Anything that you even now are thinking that you love. Maybe it's not power. Okay, maybe it's not place of position. Maybe it's some person, a relationship that you don't want to give up. Or maybe it's just sin, a particular sin, a pleasure. And what the devil does in deceiving you and trying to blind you is to say, Jesus is not better than this. This is way better. And that's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. What's he saying? He's saying he satisfies. I am life. I give life more abundantly. The world doesn't give life. The world comes to steal, to kill and destroy. That's what the devil does. Don't believe that lie. Christ gives you what you need. He gives you forgiveness and a clean conscience. A clean conscience is a great thing. It's a great blessing. He gives us reconciliation and peace with God. He gives us true friendship with truly loving people. God is gracious, and there's a sense in which unbelievers have friendship, and there's definitely that type of thing in the world. But true people, true friends are God's people. They're the church. And when you follow Christ, you get Christ's church. When you follow Christ, when you turn to Him, the way He satisfies you is He gives you power over your addicting sin. And all sin is addicting. I'm not just talking about alcohol or drugs or something. But this is why Christ is so great. This is how Christ satisfies us. And this is what you must turn to. They are distracted. They believe, they have an idol, as it were. You can look at it from that perspective, and it's their power and their position, and that's blinding them. And it's a mark of their blindness as well. Well, what happens to people who stay in this state of blindness, this hardened blindness? I've thought about bringing that theme more into the sermon. It really is really just seen in this last point. Those who stay spiritually blind, who harden themselves to the evidence and to the appeals, what happens to them? What's the end of spiritual blindness? And this is something I want you to see because it makes this issue even more important. Again, my message to you this morning is beware of spiritual blindness. I want to put up a warning sign. I want you to think about yourself. And this is another reason. And this is the last phrase of this text. Verse 33 says, so they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. I want you to think about this for a moment. And I first want to say this, that this passage of Scripture does point to Jesus' wisdom. You can read this passage of Scripture and you can say Jesus is very, very wise. He doesn't answer their question openly. He doesn't say, I am the Messiah. His time has not come. Very likely that the Pharisees, the scribes, and the elders here had a cohort with them ready to take him. Very, very likely that, of course I'm speaking hypothetically, that the people that even liked Jesus, as it were, then or at this point, would not have gone for that, and he could have been taken away, and he knows it's not his time. So he asked the question. It's wise. There's something there for us to learn. You know, people ask us questions. We don't necessarily have to answer them. We can ask them a question. And he shows wisdom here. And well, if you're not going to tell me, then I'm not going to tell you. But that's not really what's going on here. There's something else going on here. He's making a sobering statement about censure, divine censure. cutting off these people from his own revelation. I'm no longer going to reveal myself to you. That's what he's saying. One commentator was very helpful in this regard. I want to quote a paragraph. This is J.A. Alexander, an American Presbyterian from the 1800s. He says this about this specific last comment. No man has a right to demand an abundance of evidence on any question of belief or duty. And as the call for such accumulated proof is a virtual rejection of that previously given, it is the law of the divine administration to refuse it, to refuse that additional evidence, and to deal with those who ask it as guilty of the twofold crime of tempting God and making him a liar. So, in some sense, this passage of Scripture, as I've been interpreting it, points us to the reality that God does judge people who don't believe in him. But it's a little bit different than that. I'm talking about a time now, a temporal time, with certain people, God says, no, I'm done. I'm going to just give you over. Now, we don't know when that happens. But it's something I want you to think about. Spiritual blindness, hardening in it, staying in it, eventually leads to this. And I want you to think about where other places in Scripture this is shown. 1 Kings 22 is one place that comes to mind. King Ahab knew better. He was a king. He had contact with Jehoshaphat, even if there was no gospel in Israel, which one might argue that. He knew Jehoshaphat. He knew Micaiah. Think about Romans 1. Three times in Romans chapter 1, as Paul's explaining the depravity of man and how they give themselves to certain sins, three times it says something very striking. And God gave them over. God gave them over. Despite the voice of conscience, despite the voice of creation, he just gave them over. I'm not talking about hell. He's talking about something that happens in our life, in time. He gave them over. Jeremiah 15:1. To his apostate people who just kept ignoring him, he said, "Then the Lord said to me," this is Jeremiah, the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, "even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. I'm sick of sending my prophets to them. I've had enough. They've rejected me. They've just maintained this blindness." And this is a very serious issue. It's very possible that there's someone in this room who's still resisting the gospel. You've heard it. Children could be speaking to you, could be speaking to adults. Week after week, both in my ministry and Pastor McCracken's ministry, there's appeals. There's evidence given. There's a demonstration of Christ given. And there's a rejection of it. Beware. This is not just an Old Testament thing. Revelation 3:17. The Laodicean church is described as blind. They're blind. They don't see what's going on. And it's a call to self-examination. It's a call to self-examination. Are you seeking an alternative desire? Are you lying to yourself? Are you ignoring? Are you suppressing evidence? Take heed to yourself. Think about it. Beware of spiritual blindness. I want to, as your pastor, I want to say a few other things in conclusion. I want to speak to you here. If I do have your attention, you know, some of God's people, maybe you are very sensitive to salvation. You struggle with assurance. I've been in a position in my life where I wondered if I was a Pharisee. I remember that. By God's grace, I don't think I'm a Pharisee now. But there was a time in my life where I was like, am I a Pharisee? Have I just totally missed it? And I want to give you two marks of someone who's in the visible church. Maybe they're even an elder. Okay, maybe they're even a pastor. That, yeah, they're struggling. Yes, they sin. But they're not these people. And I want, if this is the case for you, I want you to think about it. People who are not spiritually blind. Yes, they have sin. Yes, they might be struggling to ignore things. Maybe they've even lied to themselves at one point. But they make it a practice to confess their sins. I'm just trying to get you to think about your life for a moment. The Pharisees prayed. I wonder if they confessed their sins. I wonder if they had a humble heart. I wonder if they realized that, yes, God, you are God. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the Savior. Many of you, or at least you may be in a place where you're very sensitive to the things that I've been saying. But you don't just pray for earthly things and, you know, daily things. But you do. You are aware of your sin. Some of you may not be. Do you confess your sin? Secondly, is there a willingness to hear critique? Are you willing to hear my preaching? Are you willing to hear a friend come alongside you and say, you know, I think you have an issue in your life? The Pharisees are not open to that. They're not open to that. A willingness. And finally, I want to offer a comfort to you. People remain spiritually blind because they don't come to Christ. Jesus has said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. The Pharisees aren't hearing his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I make them hear my voice, and they will follow me. You go to Christ, and he will keep you close. These people aren't going to Christ. You go to Christ, and he will keep you close. Let us pray.